Thank y'all for singing that song. It was just what I needed at the time. Nothing makes me feel more like a pastor than when you ask me to pray for you. And I really like it when you ask me to pray for you. And so don't ever stop doing that. I love doing this, but I love praying for you. And we're still in Philippians. Happiness. We're in the sixth week of the habits of happiness. And in chapter 3, Paul gives us another 5 habits of happiness. And these today that I want to talk to you about is these 5 you can do in a quick 10 to 15 minute quiet time. And guys, if you build these habits into a 10 to 15 minute quiet time, your happiness will grow. I promise you it'll grow. Let's get right into it. Number one, if you're filling in your notes, number one, every day, relax in God's grace. Relax in God's grace. Guys, you and I, we don't have to try to earn God's approval. We don't have to try to earn His love, His recognition. God is love. And He loves you. He loves me unconditionally. I want to explain to you today, just real quick, quickly, the difference between religion and a relationship. Religion is what you do for God. Relationship is what God has done for you. The Bible talks and explains what God has done for you and I, about what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And guys, you and I, we're going to forget. We're going to lose our happiness if we forget to relax in God's grace, His graciousness. Philippians 3:3 says, we Christians glory in what Christ Jesus has done for us and realize that we are helpless to save ourselves. See, as Christians, we're not trying to earn our way to heaven. We're not trying to prove anything, to prove that we're good enough. It is only God's grace. I love this in the Message version right under it. It says, we couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it. We couldn't do this by ourselves. Well, one of the things that will rob you of happiness, and I'm going to have a trap in all 5 habits. And the first trap that will rob you of this habit of relaxing in God's grace is legalism. If you're filling that out, write the word legalism. Legalism is this attitude that I have to prove my love to God. Legalism is trusting what I do for God instead of what Jesus did for me. He's trusting that I have to do these rituals, or I have to be of a certain race or a religion, or I have to have a certain reputation, and I have to keep these rules. You know, and you know, somebody once said, well, don't you have to keep the 10 commandments? I said, I'll be honest with you, if you tried to pin me down, I couldn't recite the 10 commandments. I don't think you could either. Name all 10. So it's hard to live by all 10 if you can't even remember. I mean, some of you probably could, but if you were to pin me down, I guarantee you I couldn't do it. So tell you all 10, not right now. I'd have to give you one of them and let me get back to you. But my main thing is every day, relax in God's grace, in His grace that He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. You don't have to do anything for Him to love you. Well, how do you know that you're a legalist? Well, the telltale sign is this. You are judgmental of other people. You're a legalist if you're judgmental of other people. If you're harsh on other people. Critical. Anytime you when someone who is, you see someone who's extremely critical of other people, they don't feel good about themselves. They're not measuring up to some set of rules that they've made. You know, and they don't think that they're accepted. They don't think that they're loved because they don't meet those standards, their own standards. Well, how do you know that we're living by grace? You're gracious to other people. You've been let off the hook, you let them off the hook. You've been forgiven, so you're forgiving other people. I'll cut you some slack because God cut me some slack. I'm going to tell you something, guys. Legalism will suck you dry. Legalism will just kill a church of happiness. But grace is liberating. Grace is freedom. Philippians 3:9 says this. But I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law. Instead, I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with Himself is through faith. Let me go back up to what Paul said. Paul said, in legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. He said, Paul persecuted the Christians. He was a legalist. He followed all the rules. He said, back when I was a legalistic, I was faultless. I followed all the rules, but it still didn't do me any good. Didn't do me any good. He said, I could no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's laws. Guys, it's not about our performance. It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus did. So the first thing you need to do in this 10 or 15 minutes I'm asking you to do in a daily habit is to relax in God's grace. He loves you. He loves you. The second daily habit I want you to do is this. Remember what matters most. Remember what matters most. What I'm saying by this is what I try to do when I wake up is to remind myself what counts. What counts and what doesn't count. And I try not to be distracted by what's trivial and what doesn't really matter. You might say, well, why? Have you ever noticed just how easy it is to lose your joy over some small thing? Over some small irritation? Have you ever noticed, did that happen to you this week? It did me. I was trying to crank the lawnmower and it wouldn't crank. I sprayed some ether down in that thing and I didn't know I'd sprayed too much. And I was getting so mad, I was getting irritated. My leg was right beside the exhaust pipe. I was out there by myself. I'm glad I was by myself. And I done got to the point of irritation. And that thing finally cranked. Whoa! Right beside my foot. I almost wet my pants. And then I just had to realize I had let that small thing steal my joy. And I just had to laugh. I just had to laugh. I felt like, God, you done that, didn't you? You wanted to see me jump, and you wanted to do that. But, you know, sometimes it might be your car won't start. You ever lose your joy because your car won't start? Or maybe you were in the position I was a month ago, some of your old clothes wouldn't fit. Now they call me Slim Jim, and I'm fitting in everything I have. But to keep our happiness, we got to remember what matters the most and what counts and what doesn't count. Philippians 3:7 says this, all the things that I once thought were so important to me, I now consider worth nothing because of Christ. What did you think was most important before you met Jesus Christ? Was it your career? Was it Was it money? Was it being popular? Or maybe becoming famous? All those things that you thought were important, probably not so important now, after you've met Jesus Christ. This was Paul in his latter years. He was elderly. But Paul was tired of running the rat race. Because here's the thing, what Paul found out, if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. You're still just a rat. He found out there was no need to keep up with the Joneses because they were bankrupt. Stuff just doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. And what matters most. So how do you know? I love Chris's story. Got saved right after the force the other night. But here's what I want to ask you. How do you know if you've really been saved by Jesus Christ? You know how you know? Your values change. Your values change. You know? And I'll say this. If they haven't changed, you ain't been saved. I don't know how else to put that. If your values have not changed, you have not been saved. Because you can't have somebody as big as God come into your life and you stay the same. Does that make any sense? You just can't meet Jesus Christ and stay where you are. You just can't do it. I had some friends, and they're from Rockmart, asked me one time, Sonny, since you become a holy roller, you just got a lot of things you can't do, ain't there? You can't do this and you can't do that anymore. And I said, you know, it's not that I can't do the things. I don't want to do the things. Everything changed for me. I told him, I said, I don't have a list of do's and I don't have a list of don'ts. Jesus Christ just changed my wants. He just changed them. I don't want to do those things. I said, I'm on this permanent high and I ain't trading it for no cheap thrills. It's permanent. And I'm not trading it for nothing. But here's the problem. The world around you and I tries to brainwash us into thinking that the stuff that's not important is important. Like having a new pair of shoes or new clothes or something. So the trap in this step is our pop culture. Pop culture. The culture around us. Advertisers, you know what they tell us? That we're not worth anything until we have their product. Y'all ever notice that? That's what they're basically saying. You're not of any value until you have our product. So I want you to think about something before you buy something. Ask yourself, how much will this matter in 100 years? Or how much will this matter in 5 years? Or how much of what I'm worrying about right now, today, is going to matter tomorrow? How much will it matter? We have to live in light of eternity, of forever. The culture and the people around you are constantly telling you that the petty and the trivial stuff is important. And we catch ourselves living for things that just don't matter. That just don't matter. So we got to be happy. We can't focus on things that are current. We got to focus on things that are eternal. I ask myself all the time, why am I stressed out if this isn't going to matter in eternity? So the second habit, remember what matters most. Verse 8 says this. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with Him. I want you to underline that word garbage. I did some background this week on this. Do you know what? I'm not a big biblical scholar, but if you go back into the Greek, do you know what? They're being very kind using this word garbage. Do you know what it is in the Greek? Manure. For those of y'all that didn't grow up in Rockmart, manure is doo-doo. I don't think I have to explain any further what that is. I mean, I have discarded everything else, counting it as doo-doo, so that I may have Christ. That I may have Christ. Paul says, I'm giving up some things that others consider important that I could lose so that I could gain something that I cannot lose. Third daily habit is this. Every day, write this down. Get to know Jesus better. Get to know Jesus better. I try to start this way every morning. Sometimes I forget it when I hadn't had my coffee yet. But I try to say this, Lord, if I don't get anything else done this morning, I want to get to know you better and I want to love you a little more. Today, that's what I want to accomplish. You know why? Because you and I, we were made for a relationship with God. Remember the 40 days of purpose? We were made for a relationship with Him. You, me, all of us. Because that's where our joy is found. Look at verses 10 and 11. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, so that somehow I also may be raised to life. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. Not know about Him. Know Him. I know my wife. I know about Lady Gaga. I know my wife because I spend time with her. I know about Lady Gaga because I have read about her. Is that little baby saying Lady Gaga? Sounded like it did. I love the amplified version here that I put in here. For my determined purpose is that I may know Christ. Y'all get that? Determined purpose. I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more strongly and more clearly. Listen here, guys. If you don't get anything else, listen to these. You don't get to know Christ by accident. You don't get to know Christ by accident. It is intentional. It is a determined purpose. You don't get to know Him by accident. You have to invest time in it, just like any other relationship. Well, what's the trap in this? Well, the trap to me is obvious. You know what the trap is? I want you to write this down. Busyness. 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 We're just too busy. I'm telling you something, guys. Busyness destroys relationships. Busyness destroys marriages. Busyness destroys friendships. It destroys relationships with our husbands, our wives, our kids, our friends. We're too busy to get to know Jesus, not get to know about Him, but to get to know Jesus, you got to set aside some time with Him. Not a lot. I ain't asking you to do a lot. 10 to 15 minutes a day. Get up a little early. Or set aside some time at lunch. 10 to 15 minutes a day. Just to get to know Him a little more. I'm talking about focus time. I'm not talking about open your Bible and watch The Voice. Focused time. Psalm 46:10. And here's the problem. The first two words, be still. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Relax in His grace and be still. So if you want to spend time with God, you gotta make time. Number four, the fourth habit we want to get into this 10 or 15 minute time in the day is this. Review where I need to grow. Review where I need to grow. Every day, do a little personal review of your life. Every day. Take 2 minutes of those 15 and of that quiet time and do a little spiritual daily checkup. Take your spiritual pulse. What I'm saying is say, where do I really need to grow? God, where do I need to grow? What do I need to work on? What do I need to be stronger? I wish I had put this in your outline. Psalm, go back to, just write down Psalm 139. I want you to go back and read that. But here's the verse here. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and test me and know my thoughts. See if there's anything evil and wicked in my life and lead me in the way. I can't even read my own writing now. Oh, that's everlasting. Lead me in the way that's everlasting. Let me tell you something. When you read this verse where it says, test me, see what's evil and wicked in my life, it's going to take humility. It's going to take humility. But let me tell you something about humility. Humility will lead to happiness. Why I say do this every day? Because it's a lifelong process. It's a daily thing. It's not a one-time thing. Some of us have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, but we're not growing. We're not growing. And so we got to ask, what do I need to grow? Do I need to do something about my anger? Do I need to something? Is there impatience in my heart? Is there selfishness in my heart? Is there jealousy in my being? Do I need to do something about that, God? Verses 12 and 13 says this. I don't mean to. Listen, before we read this verse, I want to tell you something. Paul's in his latter years. He's in jail. But let me tell you something about Paul. He wrote half the New Testament. He's right next to Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. I don't mean to say I'm perfect. I still haven't learned all I should. The guy that wrote the New Testament. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I am still not all that I should be. That's amazing that he would say that. At the end of his life, he says, I still haven't arrived spiritually. He said, I'm still growing and I'm still learning. So what keeps us from taking this personal inventory, this checklist in our life? What's the trap? Write this down. Pride. Pride. Pride kept me from growing. It still keeps me from growing from time to time. You know, and then we see people who pretend that they have it all together. Y'all ever met somebody like that? You know, we know they ain't got it all together. God knows they ain't got it all together. They're the only ones that don't know they ain't got it all together. But pride keeps them there. And God knows. So we might as well stop being prideful. Let me tell you something about humility. This is worth writing down too. Humility leads to happiness because it makes you teachable. Humility leads to happiness because it makes you teachable. Happy people never stop growing. Happy people never stop learning. Happy people never stop discovering. Happy people never stop stretching their faith. If you stop growing, you're miserable. If you stop discovering, if you stop learning, you're miserable. You and I were made to grow. We're made to learn. You and I, we were made to be better next year? We ought to ask that question. How can I be a better husband next year? How can I be a better wife? How can I be a better student? How can I be a better friend next year? How can I be a better employee next year? How can I be a better employer next year? How can I be a better boss? Do a daily checkup. But I want to urge you to be honest. Be honest. You might as well, it's just you and the Lord anyway. Be honest. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourselves to make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, here it is, do something about it. If you see evil, if you see wickedness in your heart, do something about it. Do something about it. Humility. Number five, fifth daily habit is this. Maybe the most important. I think I saved it for last because it is. Forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Your past is past. It's done. Let me say that again, because a lot of you are living in the past. Your past is past. It's done. All the worry in the world can't change the past. It cannot change. Now, as your pastor, because you asked me to pray for you, Lord, I know your hurts. And I know you're in a lot of pain. And I am so sorry for that. I've heard the news. I want to tell you, I love you. I love you, but most importantly, God loves you. I pray for you guys a lot. But I'm going to tell you, happiness requires letting go of the hurt and learning to forget. Happiness requires letting go of the pain and learning to forget. Now, you can hold on to the pain. You can hold on to the hurt. You can hold on to those bad memories. Or you can be happy. Do you get that? Your choice. But you can't do both. You can't hold on to the hurt and be happy. Do you want to be happy or do you want to hold on to the hurt? You can't do both. Guys, you have to choose this. I'm going to stop letting the pain of my past control the happiness of my present. Do you get that? I got to stop letting the pain of my past control the happiness of my presence. You got to let it go. As your pastor, I'm telling you, the best thing I could ever tell you is to let it go. Verse 13 and 14 says this. Let me get me some water first. And I told the 9 o'clock crew, I lost some weight working out this week and had that flu. You know how you do. I decided to go ahead and treat myself to 2 steak biscuits this morning. They had them, one of them 2 for $3.50 kind of deals. It's full of salt. Well, now y'all know what I have for breakfast. There we go. Now we can go. Let it go. Verse 13 to 14 says this, I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Learn to forget. I love what he says in the very beginning here. He says, I'm focusing all my energies. Let me tell you something about that. You and I, we got limited energies for the day. Do y'all know that? what I'm asking you here is stop wasting your limited energy on the past. You can't do anything about the past. And you and I, we waste incredible amounts of energy on yesterday. Incredible. When we got today going on, we can't even do nothing about tomorrow. It ain't here yet. We find ourselves worrying about tomorrow. He says, focus your energy on the current day. We just have a little bit of energy. You can't change the past. Forget about it. Now, this habit is so important, it has three traps. Three traps to keep you from doing it. The very first one is this, regret. Anybody ever have any trouble with regret? Let me tell you what regret is. It's what I'm asking you to do is let go of stuff that you wish you could have done differently. I hear it all the time. Man, Jim, I wished I could have done it differently. Well, you didn't. It's gone. Let go of it. It's done. You can't dwell on it because you're just wasting energy. You have a limited amount of energy, and you're wasting it on stuff that you regret. The second trap is resentment, which is just unforgiveness. It's stuff that people have done to you. I want to tell you, you've done some bad things to people too, and people have done them to you, and either way, you're just stuck in the past if you're holding on to resentment. You're just stuck in the past. You know what holding on to resentment is? Dumb. It's just dumb. It doesn't hurt anybody but you. That person ain't even thinking about you. I told y'all about 3 or 4 years ago. I think I told y'all before. I'll tell you again. A guy come up to me and he said, I want to tell you something. 5 years ago, you done this, and you didn't let me do this, and I've been mad ever since. I've been mad for 5 years. You know what I said? That's dumb. I ain't even thought about it. I done forgot about it. I knew you left, but I didn't know why. And you was mad. I said, I kept on preaching like nothing happened because to me nothing happened. I think he got mad at me again. Most time that person's not thinking about you. Your resentment don't hurt them, only you. And that's just dumb. Let it go. Let it go. Let them off the hook. Don't hold on to the pain. The third trap is this. And this may be kind of weird sounding to you, but tradition. Tradition. And tradition, you know, let's look at it in the context of a church. The famous seven last words of a church are this. We have always done it that way. We've always done it that way. And that'll kill a church. Guys, I want to tell you, things change. People change. The weather changes. Relationships change. Culture changes. You and I, we cannot stop change. So you and I, we got to decide whether to get mad and resist change, or I can choose to be happy. Y'all know what I'm saying? We can just resist it or we can be happy. Because even in the middle of change that I don't like, I want to be real clear on this because some folks in the 9 o'clock service was thinking I was talking about something else. I want to be real clear here. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about politics. But even in the middle of changes I don't like, I can choose to be happy. And I want to tell you something. If you don't change with the times, listen to this. First time I heard this, I just got mad. If you don't change with the times, you become irrelevant. If you don't change with the times, you become irrelevant. Now, I'm not talking about the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ changing. I'm talking about the times changing. The times change. Now, how you handle change in your life reveals your spiritual maturity. It reveals it. It reveals how connected to God that you are. How geared and how guided and connected to eternity. That's never changing. That's never changing. God never changes. Eternity never changes. Change can, if you're connected to God, and change can happen all around you. It can happen all around me, but we can choose to be happy. We can choose to be happy. We don't get mad. I'll think of North Point. You know, we're in our, what are we? Almost 17 years old in October. If you were part of North Point for the first 3 years, I want to be clear on this, starting from the living room, and you were in the high school, if you were part of North Point for the first 3 years, I'd love for you to stand up right now and remain standing. If you've been here that long, go ahead, please stand up. Please stand up. Please remain standing. What if these folks would have said, you know, Jim, I like it here. I like it here at the house and in the garage where we just had about 30 people. I like our small group where we just kind of loved on each other and it was kind of nice. Or when we got to the high school, we said, Jim, I like it in the high school. We didn't really have, you know, many bills to pay except for the rent. And there was about 100 of us, or, you know, 50 to 100 of us. And it was really kind of nice. And we just worshiped on Sunday. We didn't do anything else during the week. What if they would have said, I like it like this? It's kind of fun. But because of these people's willingness to change, did you guys know over 1,000 people have come to know Christ? Because of their willingness to change. Did you know that because of their willingness to change, 1,200 people a month are being fed groceries? Because of their willingness to change, I don't know how many countries in the world that North Point touches. Because of their willingness to change. If you're not willing to change, North Point is not the church for you. It's just not the church for you. Thank you, guys. Guys, we change all the time here. I want to tell you, we change. We try stuff. Some things work, some things fail. But what I found out is there is no growth without change. And there is no change without loss. Let go of the old. And there is no loss without pain. Let me say that again. It's a great equation. There is no growth without change. There is no change without loss. There is no loss without pain. You want to grow? Sometimes you have to let it go. You have to let it go. So we got to forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Let me read something that Jesus Christ does. God said this in Isaiah. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. As they come to sing, I want to tell you something. I don't know much. I only know about my life with Jesus Christ, and I know about the journey. I know because of personal experience that Jesus Christ makes all things new, JJ. He makes all things new. That he takes my past and he erases it. And the word says he makes all things new. He makes all things new. You say, I'm a new creature in Christ. But we have to let go of the old. We have to let go of the past. Let go of the hurt. You can hold on to it. You can hold on to those bad memories, or you can be happy. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so glad. I'm so thankful that you make all things new. That yes, Lord, it was all of us have had hurtful memories in our past. And Lord, I know that some are sitting here today and they're still holding on to that. They're holding on to that pain with dear life. And they're hurting. I pray, Lord, that they look inside this week and they see the evilness and the wickedness there. And they let it go. That the humility leads them to be teachable. Which leads to happiness. Lord, we love you so much. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.